There's money to be made from equality, a lot of it. New research has found that if Australia improved gender parity, it could add nearly $300 billion to the GDP. The research has been carried out by the McKinsey Global Institute and looked at countries throughout the Asia-Pacific region. Anu Madgavkar is a principal MGI. She joins us now from India. Anu, thank you for your time. Without getting too technical, how did you come up with a figure? Because that is, I've got to say, staggering. $300 billion. How can you justify that?
Well, it is a very impressive figure, and I think we started by looking at what the contribution of women to the GDPs of their economies today is. And it turns out that in Australia, women account for about 46% of the workforce, but only 36% of GDP contribution. And this is because it's not just that there are women not in the workforce, but even those who are in the workforce tend to work part-time rather than full-time. And then they tend to work in sectors that are less productive or in occupations and jobs that are less paying than men. So if you look at disparities across all these, there is actually quite a leakage of talent. Now, going forward, what we do is we build a scenario in which Australia, like every other economy, improves its rate of closing the parity gap on all three dimensions of labor participation, hours worked, and the productivity of sectors. And improves at the fastest rate that we've seen other countries do so. So something that's actually possible. And if you look at that scenario, then it's, as you said, $288 billion Aussie dollars of GDP, which is 12% higher than what it would be otherwise in 2025.
Does Australia compare well to other Pacific nations in terms of gender parity?
We looked at all the countries in the Asia-Pacific region, and I would say that Australia does certainly better than the average of the region, because the average is pulled down by a lot of countries which have more severe gender parity gaps. But there is a distance to bridge for Australia on certain elements like gender equality in work. For example, the share of women in leadership positions or even the labor force participation rate is higher in a few countries in Asia-Pacific. And I think more relevant for Australia is actually the gap between Australia and best-in-class globally, because I think the rest of the region would look to Australia, which has lots of interesting and promising examples of company and government action, but other countries would really look to Australia as a global best-in-class, so that there is a gap relative to where it could be.
What action is needed in order to keep women in work? You talk about this participation rate, which we've been talking about really for a long time. How do you shift that? Because a lot of that is women working part-time, for instance, and balancing caring responsibilities.
Well, if you really zoom into the problem, there is a cohort of women who are 24 to, I think, 35 years or so. And if you look at mothers within this age cohort, this is where the labor force participation rate really drops and then struggles to climb back again. And one of the root causes that needs to be addressed is really how you think about the marginal financial incentive to work, which is a function, of course, of childcare costs. Childcare is expensive in Australia. We think that on an average family would spend something like 20% on net childcare costs compared to an OECD average of 13%. And in fact, some data suggests that if you were a secondary earner, the second earner in the family, even if you worked 4 days a week, you would end up spending most of your earnings for childcare. So the incentive or the opportunity cost is not really so obvious. And more support, more sort of financial support and a different way of structuring some of the taxes and incentives are sorely needed just to make the economic case a lot stronger for women to get back into the workforce. I think that's one big opportunity. The second is clearly a much more comprehensive way of thinking about flexible work options. I think Australian companies, do have some reflection. Most companies would have some reflection of flexible work policies as part of what they offer women, but it's not really gender neutral, i.e. men are not sort of able to avail of the same and not really actively encouraged. So flexible work options are seen as something that is taken by a woman who's not so keen on her career, as opposed to something that's quite normal and that, you know, men should take up just as much as women.
Just on, I think, almost the biggest point, the elephant in the room, if you like, changing social attitudes. Is that the toughest to implement? Because a lot of these decisions, you know, are not just because of policy levers, but they're happening at another level in the home.
Absolutely right. It's quite striking. I mean, we do tend to see that social attitudes do depend on, let's say, education levels, right? And this is something you see around the world. But even in Australia, which you would think that, you know, traditional attitudes shouldn't really have much of a role to play, but we do find that 20% of Australians believe that when a woman works for pay, her children suffer. Or almost 30% of both men and women feel that the husband's primary role should be the principal breadwinner outside the home, and the wife should be responsible for, you know, home and children. So attitudes are very deep-rooted. They don't go away simply because, you know, you've been to college or you have a higher degree, for example. And it's quite important to take even more concerted action. Business leaders can do a lot. Governments can certainly do a lot. Public awareness campaigns can do a lot to shift such attitudes.
Thank you so much for your time, Anu.
You're welcome.
That's Anu Madgavkar. She is the principal at MGI. And, of course, we're talking about this report that says that if there were improved gender parity rates, it would add nearly $300 billion to GDP. It's a new report out. This is RN Drive. Up next, it's The Drawing Room.